Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's episode of Game Cabinet. This week, we're reaching in and pulling out your questions again.
Oh, look, it's that time.
It's new questions, yeah.
It's that time of year.
It's time for our, at this point, annual AMA?
Yeah. We never get enough questions to do more than one.
Yeah, but it's worth, we reach out to you guys, try to collect your questions, and then answer them about once a year. And that's this time of the year. I didn't read any of the AMA questions.
Oh my god, Drew.
So I'm going to start with our Patreon question.
So I figured I would just throw it over to Hannah, who has access to all of these questions.
I posted it on Slack. I sent you guys a message. I tried to be on top of it.
I took Slack off my phone.
That's fair. Well, I sent it in the group chat, too. It's fine.
Just the worst. Leave me alone.
So we'll start with our Patreon. If you guys didn't know, we do have a Patreon. I post neat shit there occasionally. Like secret recordings.
It's lots of me swearing, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. There's so much swearing in the secret recordings. It's pretty much all of the conversations we have before the episode starts.
Ah, wonderful.
I put those in the Patreon.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So somebody hypothetically could listen to what we were just blathering on about for five, 10 minutes
I'm
or so.
I'm definitely putting that.
Perfect.
In
Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
but it's Patreon only. You have to pay money to hear it.
That's fair. Guess that's worth it.
Quality behind
really,
that paywall.
My bad Tinder joke is worth it.
Your Tinder joke was pretty funny.
Don't spoil it.
Shh. It's just a sneak peek.
That's behind a paywall.
Go pay. Get behind that wall. It's a terrible joke.
It's the dollar. $1 will get you all of our secret recordings.
See? It's worth it.
Then if you pay $5, I'll send you a postcard every month.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
A postcard?
A postcard.
That's actually kind of unique. Mostly, I thought postcards were dead.
I make the postcards. I don't just buy postcards and send them out. I make the postcards, print them, and send them out.
That's fucking dope.
Yeah. I put way too much effort into that.
But it's for you, the listener.
Okay. So, from our Patreon, our friends over at Tumbleweird, actually, asked, what are some of your favorite RPGs that value collaborative storytelling over numbers?
Ooh, Genesis System. Easy answer for me.
That's awesome. That's the same one. Is it Fantasy Flight?
Force and Destiny.
Okay.
They do their own book. Like, they have a just blanket Genesis System book out.
Right.
But they're the guys who are currently doing L5R, Lords of the Five Rings, for those of you who don't know.
Legend?
Legend of the Five Rings, yeah. Not Lords, Legends of the Five Rings. I've just been watching Rings of Power a lot lately.
Me too.
And then they're the ones who are doing probably, I think it's the only one that's getting support right now, Star Wars RPG. Like, there's the D20 system from forever ago, there's a 2D20 system, and then there's, I think, a D6 system. This one is, they have their own dice for the Genesis system. That's what makes them kind of unique and cool, is that their dice aren't based on numbers, period. It's all symbols, and essentially coming out to that positive negative. And unless you are specifically doing something that is challenging, that like a normal person couldn't just do without thinking too hard for, you don't roll, period.
So a little bit like the Fate system?
Yeah, a lot like the Fate system in that way that things balance out, except for it's got a little bit more than Fate, which is why I like it, is like they have successes, failures, bursts, and I don't remember what the negative for burst is, and then they essentially have a crit and a negative crit. And so like when you go to attack, you have a skill. If it doesn't relate to the like 12 skills on your page, you just don't roll for it, period.
Nice.
It's a thing that you like most, as Witcher calls it, verbal combat.
Gotcha.
Is all truly just RPing and stuff like that, and role playing and trying to like adjust it. So the only time you'd like roll dice in that is if you're trying to like use a force power to Jedi mind trick somebody into doing what you want.
Hmm.
But that's one of my favorite storytelling versus number crunch games, just because it's very free flow. It is, though, very geared towards the players winning, which isn't bad, but it is almost more of a board game feeling of like, no, the players should probably win.
Mm.
Like, I tried to kill some people and couldn't. And so I let my player kill all the people. It was great.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I I'm a huge proponent fan of, I don't know, I like in any game system, something that Corey was a huge, huge advocate for. But in any role-playing game, the rule of cool is one of the best.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best things that a DM can keep in mind.
Just and the rule of yes and.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, just allowing.
I feel like the rule of cool and yes and go hand in hand.
Go very together.
Yeah, yeah. But like, if the person running the game is just like, okay, you're asking to do this thing that's kind of weird and outside of the normal spectrum of rules, but it's really cool, so I'm going to let you do it, is kind of the impetus. Like, it's just do the most fun thing that you can think of, and if the DM's like, okay, this isn't totally game-breaking, so I'm going to let you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like building an ice ramp to yeet a shark off of a ship?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was great.
That was one. Completely logical.
I'm going to go help Narina. Never mind. I'm going to stand here and talk with Narina. What are you doing over here? I came to help, but you're fine. The Eldritch Blast.
That campaign was like riddled with rule of cool moments.
It was absolutely.
There was a lot of drinking happening in that game. Not necessarily by the players.
But it was a delightful campaign.
It was.
Oh, man. Well, that should be like a Patreon episode. We should just like regale with like endless stories of that one particular campaign that we absolutely should. That the three of us played in. I'm sorry, Chrissy.
It's okay.
It's been a long time.
We'll get you in.
We'll bring Chrissy in to tell her the story of the campaign.
Yeah, that sounds good.
There we go.
You'll have an audience.
Okay.
Perfect. The only problem I've ever had with the rule of cool and the rule of yes and is some people like to argue with me over 5 feet on fucking mage hand. Sometimes that gets a little bit much, but rule of cool, man. It's 5 feet. Okay.
I mean, in the Tomb of Annihilation campaign that I played in,
yeah,
our DM was pretty... He wasn't like heavily, heavily rules lawyer, but he was very much a like by the book kind of guy.
Yeah.
He did rule of cool one time in our campaign, and it was because the Shield Guardian Vorn was my goblin's deity.
Mm-hmm.
And he allowed Vorn to make an extra 10 feet of movement that Vorn should not have been able to make to get to my goblin to save him.
But I believe in him so much!
Dude, no, I said, he's like, Vorn's going to be about 10 feet short. And I was like, but he's my god. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to let it go. Yeah, no, Vorn gets you.
Nice.
Your belief in him gets him to you. Let's see. Hannah brought up another good one, though. Fate system. I used to play that with my little brothers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is probably, other than No Thank You Evil, it is, in my opinion, one of the best intro to role-playing. Not role-playing games, role-playing. Because it lets you only build half of your skills, if that, to begin with, and the lower half of your skills, essentially. It's a plus-minus system. Depending on where you have a skill, gives you an extra anywhere from +1 to +4, essentially.
Okay.
But when you start playing the game, you start coming up with your own, you come up with more of your skills, as long as it's more or less theme appropriate. My favorite go-to is always, you know, oh, okay, we're playing Hannah's running us a one shot of Zombie Apocalypse AU edition. And cool, we're all us from AU. Oh crap, I forgot to take a combat skill. I'm going to go with blunt two-handed weapons, essentially, because I used to, you know, and then you make a bit of story where it's like, oh, I used to play baseball and things like that. And your GM could be like, okay, well, where are you going to put that? I'm an expert in it because I'm going to be a smarmy butt right off the bat. Cool. You also happen to throw your shoulder out after every combat. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
You know, like your GM and you kind of get to go back and forth on, you know, yeah, you can go ahead and be now perfect at your favorite combat, but we're going to give you a negative to kind of help balance that out so that you're not just super OP the whole time.
Yeah.
I can just picture us starting that game from the podcast studio up here and like just like grabbing the microphone stands as our zombie fighting weapons.
These microphone stands would be the worst.
They would throw a zombie.
One.
Yeah.
And then they would break.
That's six of them. We should be able to get to something else in here. I mean, we got an axe within a couple
feet of There's also diagonally from us on the other side of the room, the boneyard, which has much more valuable metal items.
Yeah, and then we clear out the top floor and we just block the stairwell. It's fine.
There's nothing could go wrong. Too. There is food up here.
Yeah, it'd be fine. Yeah. We have couches.
There's also a microwave now.
I'm also pretty sure that we could like build a ladder down if we needed to.
I mean, really, we could just go through this wall.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, you just go right through this and you build a ladder down right into the heart of the store and you're good.
I mean, theoretically, you could just push one of the bookshelves down, punch a hole in the ceiling, and just jump down onto one of the other bookshelves.
Yeah, and then you could just bookshelf run the whole way.
Yeah.
Anybody local, you can actually see what we're talking about. If you go into the store, you can see there's a divide in the ceiling of the store about halfway back, and that's where the false ceiling stops and the actual upstairs begins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we hang out up there.
Yep. Yeah. That's where we are.
What about you, Chrissy? Do you have any...
I wish I had played more than D&D ever.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. D&D's a safe one, though.
D&D is good.
It's a really good...
I feel like it's really easy to fall into, like, the rule, like, the, you know, the stats, and there's a word for that.
Min-maxing.
Yes, min-maxing and whatnot. But I tend to never do that anyway.
I mean, that's fair. And I feel like 5e lends itself really well in the right situation. The yes and, the, you know, not being rules lawyery. I feel like 5e is a really good game to just kind of forget that the stats exist most of the time. There's a lot. My Icewind Dale campaign, I don't have them roll a whole lot.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, we want to do this. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Why?
Sure.
Okay.
I think it heavily depends on the DM, too, and how they play the game.
I have two. One of them, I can't remember the name, and I feel bad now, but it was the one that Sam ran over the quarantine on Discord. Is it Everyone Dies?
No, everyone's John.
Everyone is John. Everyone is John. So,
I didn't even play in that. He just was talking to me about how much he loves that game.
I keep forgetting what it's called because there's a book called John Dies at the End.
Yeah.
And I just mix the two of them. Everyone is John is hilarious. And it's all collaborative storytelling and only like D6 dice rolls. And those are just to see if you get to keep control of John. You're playing as John's multiple personalities.
Okay, I love that.
And each personality has a goal that they are trying to achieve either once or multiple times. You get to pick what your goal is.
Okay.
You don't get assigned it. You get to choose. So like one of the people we were playing with chose, because it was the beginning of the pandemic, their goal was to steal toilet paper rolls.
Okay.
Yes.
That was Joy.
Of course it was Joy.
I picked the hard goal of I want to kill someone. Just one person.
Okay.
But I did it. On accident.
You at least succeeded.
But so like what you do is you take control of John and you narrate what you're doing and you go through the story. And then every time there's like a major incident, you have to roll a D6 to see if you keep control of John. And if you fail, it gets passed to the next person and they take control of John.
Okay.
And so you just go through this whole thing, switching back and forth and doing just progressively and progressively more insane things. It's so much fun.
That sounds insane.
The other one that I absolutely love, we play it almost every year for Halloween, is 10 Candles.
Yeah.
10 Candles is terrifying and so much fun. And the whole thing is collaborative storytelling. You roll D6s only to see if you survive the incidents that happen. You start out, make characters together. So you have flashcards and you write down, I think, like personality traits and then like personality defects. But you don't get to keep yours. They shuffle to other people. And then you all build characters together. And you start the game by recording in character like little notes. Like little like recorded audio messages in character, like, oh, you know, I'm going to go see my mom, you know, heading down to the beach or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's different settings. There's different things that you're doing. And you start with that and then you start playing the game. And the whole premise is one night the sun goes down and it doesn't come back up. And as you have 10 candles on your table. Mm-hmm. And as the night goes, the candles progressively snuff. Okay. And get darker and darker. And the things that are hunting you can only come out in the dark.
That's terrifying.
It's horrifying. Nobody lives. That's the spoiler. Yeah. Nobody ever lives in a tin candle game. The point of the game is to survive as long as you possibly can until the last candle goes out.
Okay.
And then when the last candle goes out, you play the audio recordings in the dark.
Okay.
And it's the weirdest thing because you build this whole story of these characters and they're desperate, like, trying to survive, and then you get to hear the audio recordings that you made at the very beginning of these people just being happy and like excited.
Old school horror film style.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's my one of my favorite games. Fun. It's so much fun. And the games can go anywhere from like an hour to like 5 hours.
Yeah.
Because when you're rolling to see if you succeed on the things that you do, if you succeed, you just keep going with the scene. But as soon as someone fails, a candle goes out.
Okay.
And every time the candle goes out, you go around the table and you go, these are the things I know to be true. I am alive. And then each person gets to say something that their character knows to be true, and it becomes true in the world.
Okay.
So.
It's dope.
So, I am alive. I know that I left the back window unlocked.
Cool.
Shit like that. And then it just progressively. So that's just
giving you more tips to survive kind of thing. Yeah.
Or
die.
Progressing the horror.
Right.
That's awesome.
Love that game. We should play that game sometime.
That would be amazing.
10 candles, is that what you said? Okay.
Okay. Well, anybody else have good?
Not that I can think of off the top. Okay. Those are at least the ones I've played.
Okay. I have another question. This one is from a gentleman named Matt on Twitter.
Oh, hi, Matt.
We have a Twitter, too.
Twitter? I should probably shout that out more at the end of the episode. I didn't know we had a Twitter.
It's on our link tree.
Oh, man.
There's a link tree in the description. You can click it and see all of the social media that we have.
What? Dude, job? No.
I know.
I don't want to work.
This one's a little bit more introspective. It says, I have had some of my life's best experiences playing games with others. What would it take for society as a whole to recognize games not simply as a distraction or to entertain, but a means to explore and enhance the human condition?
If people actually read studies, I can start with that one. If people actually read studies, we've done, I want to say at least half a dozen, there's probably more at this point, studies on like D&D for trauma.
Yeah.
And things like that. Like, it can be a tool that can help. I don't think a lot of people read those studies or go, oh, they're just trying to make themselves seem cooler than they are. No, RPGs are great for that. Like,
I mean,
really
games
great
in
for
general.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say, like, just having a space like AU or even the cafe where you can even just explore games, like look into them more, having the cabinet full of all of the games you can play for demos or whatever, like having spaces that are safe that you can escape from whatever's happening in life and play some games with some random strangers, even people you know, is a really cool tool to have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think more people should look for local cafes that have games or whatever else, or game nights or anything like that. I think that's huge.
Right.
Community spaces in general. That is like the main thing I think that's going to get people more interested.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say we're kind of like on the right track, mm-hmm. generally.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think that like just everything lately, you know, in like the last 10, 20 years, even nerdy, fun, cool things that used to get you, you know, teased or whatever, mm-hmm. and you know, like in the schoolyard.
Look at Stranger
whatever.
Things.
Exactly, yeah. Like, those kids playing D&D in that show mm-hmm. is probably, like, one of the best things that's happened for, like, just, like, popular consensus of, like, what is legitimate and cool mm-hmm. in the world. And, like, I love how they even address, like, the satanic panic stuff mm-hmm. in the most recent season of that show.
Yeah.
I mean, just for what that does for, I mean, obviously, at this point, it's, like, gotten farther along than we've ever realized. Like, mm-hmm. nerds have become to rule the world.
The nerds have risen.
Like 9+ seasons, I think, of Big Bang Theory.
Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I know it's not everybody's favorite, but having a major sitcom about people who are into our stuff
mm-hmm.
I think
is a big turn for us.
I think beyond that, though, like to really step into like a social consciousness of like games being not just seen as like, oh, it's relaxing and it's fun, but something that is actually enhances the human condition. I think we have to get to the core of like capitalist societies where we value like just hard work is what it takes to be a productive member of society, and leisure is seen as, instead of something that humans just inherently need, it's seen as a luxury.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Because until you stop seeing rest as a luxury, you can't ever see fun as something that humans just intrinsically need.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You need fun in your life.
Yeah. And I think that that's, I agree that it's something that we're seeing a movement towards, but I think we're still really stuck in this hole. To be a grown-up, you can't have fun.
Well, nobody wants to work anymore. That's like the whole thing, too. It's
and
like,
that was going to be
nobody wants to work anymore. Everybody died.
We need to not look at board games. Like, obviously, the board game community has figured this out, but as society as a whole, they need to realize that board games aren't just for kids.
Yeah.
I play plenty of board games where I don't let kids in. My Witcher game, I tell my kid to go in the other room. Like, yeah. If she's there for the night, I literally am like, yeah, I'd prefer it if you didn't hang out here.
Dude,
because this is going to be an adult game.
When I talk to people who are outside of my friend circle, who are outside of my community that I have built, and I'm like, oh yeah, I play D&D a lot. Like, I play D&D every week almost. Mm-hmm. Or I work at a comic book shop or whatever. You always get some version of the like, that's not a grown-up job. That's not a grown-up thing to do. I am a whole grown-up. I pay taxes. I earn money. I contribute to society.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in my 30s. Like, I'm a grown-up.
Most of those people like to, you know, a lot of the people I know that have that kind of reaction, they go out to bars for fun.
Yeah.
You know who takes care of you at bars? This guy. The same guy will take care of you at the bar and be the guy who gives you your favorite thing. I just chose to stop intoxicating people and to go enjoy where I gave people their actual, like, joyous thing.
Well, yeah, and it is, you know, games and fun, stuff like that, quote, fun. Because there's a line, golf is adult fun, but mini golf is for kids.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is I think that's the main thing, is that we need to stop looking at fun in two different categories and understand it's one category and you enjoy what you enjoy.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that society needs to look at it also as learning opportunities for smaller kids.
Yeah.
Like, if we like to not always have board games and be like, oh, they're just supposed to be fun for kids. No, make those kids think.
Yeah. I mean,
make those kids learn. I help my brothers with math by making that they wanted to play D&D because big brother and dad played D&D, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, well, how's your math skills? Roll a d20. Add 4 to that. All right. Well, looks like we're going to learn how to count to about 30 at least this week.
Right.
So that you can start playing these games with us. They're not just fun. They're also tools.
Well, there's strategy games. There's planning games. There's role-playing games. There's like a game for every person.
Right. There's games to teach you numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Like easy games to teach you numbers. There's games to teach you how to think critically.
Mm-hmm.
There's games, role-playing games, to teach you how to speak.
Social.
Socialize. Be.
Work on your feet.
Work on your human feet.
Yeah. Multitask.
Multitask. There's games for pretty much everything that we need to learn to be functional humans. And yet people are just like, no.
No, that's for kids.
That's for kids. No, they're not. Games are for everyone, and we need to embrace that.
Yeah.
It's happened a few times over the years, but whenever I talk to anybody down in the store that's a teacher that's getting board games or just games in general for their classroom,
yeah,
like it's one of the most
satisfying things, yeah, to hear for the day.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, okay, good.
I wish that my school was like when I was in school, I wish that this was a thought, and I'm so glad to see that like my siblings are gonna be able to see that more
for sure. It's slightly unrelated but similar idea and thought process, but like comics being taught,
yeah,
as like literature and stuff like that, like, yeah, in classrooms, like it's moving in that direction. I feel like more and more is happening in those kinds of,
I mean, sectors, taking a pivot from that, mm-hmm, like stepping away from board games, if your kid wants to read comics, let them read comics.
I was gonna shoot on to that one,
dude,
as well.
I
think that a couple authors lately have been doing a really good job of helping on that as well.
Yeah.
Mm. People like Neil Gaiman.
Oh, yeah.
Who wrote all the Sandman series and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But he writes things that people who don't really like fantasy can at least look at and go, no, that's literature.
Yeah.
He writes books. And so when they're like, oh, no, comic books aren't real books. Really? Because this one was written by Neil Gaiman.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just kind of slide forward a real, what they count as a real author, and be like, he does comic books as well.
Yeah.
Also,
do you like his?
There's been a huge movement in the last 10 years of taking, quote, classical literature and turning it into graphic novels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can get The Scarlet Letter. You can get The Man in the Iron Mask. You can get pretty much any classic lit that your kids might need to read for school in a comic form.
And you know what classic literature isn't typed in or put down text-wise in? Dyslexic-friendly font.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you have a dyslexic kid in your class, I'm dyslexic. So when you have a dyslexic kid in your class and they're having a hard time with these super tiny printed books and they're starting to get migraines, and you can go, here's a graphic novel for you to read instead. Cool. I don't have to read several pages of descriptors on places we're never coming back to.
I would go as far to say that's more enticing for any child.
Yeah.
Because, like, why would you hand a chapter book to a child and go, there's no pictures in here, have a good time.
Right?
It's like, I have a hard time with reading books because of that.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I love graphic
novels. Of course I would eat up a graphic novel right away.
I have read so many books. So many books. And I love graphic novels equally. Like,
yeah.
They're a completely different reading experience, but you still get the knowledge and the information and the... Anyway, we stepped away from games, but it's... I feel like it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah,
because we've been like, graphic novels are for children. Graphic novels aren't serious literature. Graphic novels... Board games aren't serious, like, fun things. Yes, yeah. They are.
In general, I think it just takes educating people on, like, what is out there.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think many people know the expanse, like, library of games in general that there is.
I feel like part of it comes from, like, jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a part of it comes from these people who were pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, either from their inner circle or from society, to just give up on the things they love, mm-hmm. to pursue a career, quote, quote. And they're miserable. And then they see people living their best lives, having so much fun, doing all these things that they were told they weren't allowed to do. And they're like, you can't do that because I'm miserable.
Well, stop being miserable and come sit down.
Come play D&D with us. You won't be miserable.
Yeah. But I think that that's what it'll take, is for us to stop. We as society still look at board games graphics as for kids. And even then, we try to keep our kids away from them.
Right.
But... we keep looking at them as for kids, or I guess more young adults is kind of where we've started that move of, like, you're too young for RPGs, you're too young for this board game, mm-hmm. you know, but it's once we stop looking at it as it's for people who are younger and not quite adults,
mm-hmm.
once we start looking at it as it's an adult activity too. One of my favorite things since I've been an adult was I'll buy a giant bag of candy, sit down and eat it before dinner. And people are like, you can't do that. It'll spoil your dinner. And I look them square in the face and go, I can. I'm an adult. I was told I couldn't do this as a kid because I was told that it was for adults.
When
guess
you
what?
Have your
I'm
own
an
place,
adult.
You can do it. Yeah.
I can. Yeah, exactly. When you have your own place, you can go do whatever you want. Cool. Then I'm eating a bag of candy because you told me I couldn't.
You can't,
and now you're not in charge of me. So I'm
going to
do whatever
I want. You
can't
have ice cream for dinner. Watch me.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Because this is my house. I'm going to eat what I want.
Also, like, let your kids have ice cream before dinner a couple times, because once they get
Dude,
older,
they'll remember it forever.
Well, and also, like, when I got old enough to eat ice cream for dinner, I was lactose intolerant. So if I could have just been allowed to do that as a child, my life
maybe
would have been,
you wouldn't be lactose intolerant.
My life would have been irrevocably better.
But yeah. It's just one of those things where we have to be like, it's not just for kids. It is for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whether people like it or not, we all still have that inner kid that we're trying to help satisfy their wants and desires.
Well,
and until we accept that, it's gonna take a minute.
Even beyond the inner kid thing, like even beyond the inner child thing, humans just need leisure and fun.
Yeah.
Like that's not a kid thing. Human beings just need that.
Yeah.
To be human.
What? I have to have fun and rest and relaxation.
Yes, you'll die otherwise. There's
no,
studies on this.
I'm a machine, not a human.
I work for the man.
I mean, I work for Amanda.
I was gonna say we work for like the least man the man company possible. Our man hates the man.
Which is why we're here talking to you about why you should play games.
She's literally got a bumper sticker that says fight fascism.
It's one of my favorite bumper stickers.
Love
I've
that
ever
so
seen.
Much. Our boss is the coolest person ever.
Shout out to Amanda. We love you.
I know she doesn't listen to the podcast, but
we'll just send her this clip.
It'll just, you know, clip it. Yeah.
Yeah.
She pays us to be here, but she doesn't listen to our podcast.
I can't blame her. I barely remember to listen. I'm here. I get to watch
it. I mean, yeah.
I get to be here. Listen, I record all of our podcasts. I don't need to listen to them because I am here.
Yeah,
I hear them twice.
We're actually
edit them, yeah.
Yeah, we're actually the first listeners as well as the people on the podcast.
Oh man, listenception.
Okay.
This
All right.
has been a long time for two questions so
right.
far.
I knew that these two questions would take us most of the episode.
That's
why
fair.
I picked them. Okay. I added this on here, and I don't remember if we talked about it on our other AMA.
Well, maybe our opinions changed.
It's from The Amazing Donnie.
Hey, plucky sidekick Donnie.
Plucky sidekick Donnie.
Hey, Donnie.
Love you.
I think that we might have touched on it on the last AMA episode, but I'm not 100% sure. But Donnie asked, are minis worth the cost, or do you prefer standees?
I mean, I feel like that's like kind of up to the individual.
It depends on one major factor, in my opinion.
Can I ask a qualifier? Yeah, go ahead. Nope.
Do you like to paint? If you don't like to paint, no, miniatures aren't worth it.
I mean, I know a lot of people that just use unpainted miniatures, though. But they just
ask
like
a clarifying question.
But all of them say they
George,
want to paint
what's
them.
Your clarifying question?
Are all of the miniatures painted by you, Hannah?
No.
Well, okay.
Unless you want to pay me the money.
I would love to.
Because I will paint so many miniatures for the money.
I would love to pay you, but I'm poor.
I know. This is why the qualifier is no.
Okay. Well, if the answer was yes, then I would say yes.
For someone who's still figuring out this stuff, standees are like the cardboard ones we're talking about, correct?
Yeah. Okay.
Cardboard or acrylic sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pathfinder calls them pawns because they have like their pawn boxes, which is like effectively just images of all of those creatures on a cardboard standee.
Yeah.
Your classic Hasbro character token.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I would also agree. It depends on if you like to paint. It depends on what kind of game you're playing. Because if you're playing a game that you think you're going to play for a couple weeks that your friends aren't going to commit to, minis aren't worth it.
Yeah.
But if you're playing a game that you've been playing for years and you love your character and it's developed, hell yeah, get a mini for that character because you're going to hold on to that forever and you're going to love it.
I still have Phillips.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Well, and the thing is, too, I have a lot of minis that I've bought for characters that I really love that I've just never painted because I don't care. I'd love to paint them eventually, but like just having the mini to represent my character is like, look, here's my character.
I agree 100%.
For someone who paints minis like semi-professionally, I paint very few of the minis that I buy for myself because I'm painting other people's minis constantly.
But you are awesome.
Incredibly talented, yes.
That though is why my pre-qualifier is, do you like to paint?
Yeah, that's fair.
Purely because if you're not a semi-pro painter and you buy it for that one character that one time, eventually that gray blob's going to go away. It's going to fall into a crease somewhere and it's going to fall away. Once you paint that miniature, you're going to use it in other games. You're going to make sure that you don't lose it. It's going to stay with your done style models. And it also gives you... You brought up the point, Chrissy, that if you run a game for a couple weeks that your friends just don't commit to, if I buy miniatures for that and then they're not committed, now I have a paint project at least.
Yeah.
You know, like what got me into miniature painting was fact that I'm a huge, you know, most of the listeners will know I love painting miniatures as well. I've got a huge tub of gray. I actually just found like maybe 2 or 3 months worth of purchasing.
My last year's
of miniatures.
My last year's 12. Reaper Kickstarter finally came in.
Oh yeah, that's more or less kind of what I found.
I just got a whole bunch of new dragons, and I'm so excited.
But yeah, I think I just found like 12 to 15 boxes of minis, like the WizKids double packs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I think I bought them. I'm working on painting up a bunch of creatures and stuff for our Witcher game, even though I don't really use miniatures very often for it. There's a few people in that game that this is their first game, and especially their first game with me. So I'm trying to get them a miniature so that I can paint it and like send them away with it.
I do want to mention that if you don't have a whole lot of money, but you still want something like a miniature, I think the standees are great.
Oh, yeah.
A great addition
There's
to your games.
There's also a lot of places that have tokens, like free printable tokens that you can use, and you can just print those on cardstock and cut them out, and they're just round tokens that you can use on your grid map. I'm also a big fan of, you don't need a character token, you have a quarter in your pocket, that's your character now.
Yeah,
like we've used dice for characters. I was playing a game at Sam's place last night, and we like there was like a bottle cap and like just everybody was just different stuff, all different sizes. There was some vape juice, just a bottle of it just on the board. It was just
I'm a big fan of standees if you're trying to get dozens of things at once.
Yes,
like
fake maps or something. Yeah.
Lots
George
of monsters.
Mentioned the Pathfinder pawn boxes. I have a couple of those just because it's, if you're like you said, a baller on a budget.
Getting
the standees and then supplement and then starting to be able to fill out your miniature collection for like, oh, I use goblins constantly.
Or like if you had used miniatures for that one shot that you ran for us with the like 8,000 kobolds.
Yeah. You know, I'd rather have 8,000 kobold tokens or standees than to go out and get that many kobolds, primarily because that puts a huge dent in your wallet. And it, in my opinion, depends on whose miniatures you're buying.
Fair.
That comes down to a lot of it. I am personally more into getting charged for the plastic that's in my box versus possibly power that's on the table.
Yeah.
Some games do that. Some models do that. Things like that. That's why I like to do WizKids, Reaper, things like that. And I stick away from things that have more of a like wargaming mentality to them. Even if those are kind of the models I want, I might go out and buy one or two of those and then recycle those models.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that I'm trying not to dog on them, but Warhammer, damn it. If I want this really cool, like, Terminator Space Marine because he's got this cool, like, elephant armor on him, maybe I don't want to spend $40 for four models.
Yeah.
That's a lot when I could, for characters the same size. And at this point, if it's a Black Series, as good of sculpt.
Yeah.
I could go pay a quarter of the price.
But he won't have the cool elephant armor.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's the price I pay.
Yeah.
If I want to pay an exorbitant amount for something like that, I'd rather go on to Hero Forge.
For sure.
And just take the cheapest plastic they have, which I think is like 10, 15 bucks a piece. Mm-hmm. But I also know I'm going to get exactly what I want.
Oh, yeah.
And if I really want to super cheap it even, I can just take the file and go find a friend who has a 3D printer and ask them to 3D print it for me.
And now
I can make dozens of them.
You know,
now
mom.
I can make dozens of these.
We have another 3D printer hookup.
My mom has like 7 printers. So
holy Jesus.
I'm not kidding.
Noted.
She's at a festival or a fall thingy right now selling 3D printed crap.
I'm like, what kind of 3D printer? We'll get into this later.
That's
I want to get a 3D printer really bad, except for I want to get one like the goopy ones.
Just to give an example of my mom right now. She got one for Christmas last year and now has like 5 or 6.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I love your mom.
My mom is so cool.
Every time you talk about her, I'm just like, I love
her. She was at Mushroom Fest. If you come to next year's Mushroom Fest, she'll probably be there again. Nice. My mom is really cool.
Did she have a stall at Mushroom Fest?
She sure did.
Does she sell the dragons?
Yeah, she was sold the dragons and stuff.
That was your mom?
Yeah, that was
that's
my mom.
That's dope.
I saw her at the art walk, too.
Yep.
And I was like, I love 3D dragons. These are so... I almost bought the really spiky plant holder.
Mm-hmm.
I picked it up and stabbed myself, and I was like, "Oh,
she wasn't at the art walk, but that's okay."
Oh, was she not?
No.
Oh, never mind.
She didn't hear about it in time, but she totally would have been there. She has now, she has like tables full of like it's gotten excessive.
I'm sure that the dragons are like a free use 3D print
she
thing
because
like a bunch of people.
Not to go on a tangent,
she
supports Patreons that allow her to resell that stuff.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
That's a really that to me is a really smart way to go about it.
Yeah. She like had them advertised on her tables and stuff like that. So
that's why I like Hero Forges. I'm pretty sure they're pretty okay with people reselling their stuff.
Yeah.
If you're like, hey, I built
the STL
this,
files are not super expensive for their mini stuff either.
Yeah.
So.
But noted, option. If I need some special minis.
Yes, she would love to print them for you.
Oh my god, I need owl ghouls. I need so many ghouls and owl ghouls. And drowners. Dozens of drowners.
No, you don't. You don't need any of those.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Actually, I need, what are they, Endendra?
No.
I need like...
Are those the bugs?
Yeah, I need an Endendra.
We're about to go into a cave.
I need an Endendra warrior, the normal, the workers, the warriors, and I need a queen.
Spoilers.
Mm. Yeah, super spoilers. You guys are boned. I'm so excited. I straight up... We were missing one player last week, and I was like, guys, this takes it from a... might kill you guys by accident too. I'm pretty sure you'll die.
yeah No, I knew why you canceled. I was like, we can't do this by ourselves, we have to have Faug.
Yeah, you want your fireball slinging mage. Oh, she's gonna burn so many hit points this week.
So, you know, we had a couple of like in-store questions.
Ooh, in-store questions.
we're getting short on time, so maybe like keep the answers kind of short.
No.
But okay. So Christy, who works downstairs. Very nice.
Hi Christy.
She said she loves trying to play games, but she likes simple games. She likes fancy fun games, but not too much effort. And if they have actual glitter, it's a bonus.
So I actually took a second to chime in with her downstairs before it came up. I personally recommended Habba Games because she has a daughter that is, I want to say she's...
Oh, yeah, anything Habba.
Four.
Huh?
Yeah, daughter's like three or four, yeah.
Yeah. But there's a game. She mentioned that she picked up Hungry Hungry Hippos, but instead of hippos, they're unicorns.
That sounds like Christy.
It does, right? But then I was just like, oh, this is perfect. There's a game made by Habba called Unicorn Glitter Luck.
Okay.
Oh my God.
And it's in a pink box normally.
If this game was made for Christy, yeah. If a game is made for Christy, this one is.
Yeah, exactly. It's in a pink box.
Unstable Unicorns. The Safe for Work edition.
There's a kids version of Unstable Unicorns. Yeah.
That one's a good one.
I like it.
Yeah. Anyways, anything made by Habba is great for kids and family type stuff. And they have my very first games lines. Like if you're out there and you have like a toddler or something that you really want to have play a game, look at Habba's My Very First Game lines. Because they have like Rhino Hero, for 2 year olds.
Yeah, I was saying for like 3 and 4 year olds, they now have like My First Catan.
Oh my God.
And things like that, where I'm like, wait, your guys' average age on this is like 5?
Yeah, right.
That's ridiculous. Especially for Catan.
Ticket to Ride has been doing that too. Yeah. They have like the My First Journey Ticket to Ride version.
That's such a cute stuff. Oh,
I want My First Escape Room.
they have one, Drew. Hold on.
No, I think I saw it downstairs.
Yes, my first escape game, recommended from ages 5 to 7 years old. We have that in the store.
I saw that the other day when I was walking by and I was like, what?
Yes. So your wish has been granted. You didn't even need a genie.
Smartass.
Anyways, there's all sorts of fun stuff out there.
So, any closing thoughts?
I should say this is kind of our last chance for closing thoughts for the year.
Oh, guys, that's fair.
The next couple episodes we're going to have are going to be our
I did want to kind of let all of our very loyal listeners know that we're only going to have 2 episodes in December, which are going to be our traditional December one-shots.
Yeah, our one shot that takes 2 episodes.
Tradition.
I mean, we've only been doing this for 2 years now, so it's really only the second year that we've done this, but it's our tradition.
Second annual.
But we tend to kind of finish up the one shots, and by then all of us are tired and
exhausted,
hyped from the play, and we're just kind of like, all right, bye guys. But
and then,
you know,
we will hopefully be back the second week of January, depending on when we get a chance to sit down and record again in the new year.
We're also going to have sit downs with bosses and things and talk about future formulae.
I'm so excited. Yeah.
I am too.
Is it formulae the plural of formula?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think so, yeah.
It is.
No, I love it.
I love it. We might be changing up the formula for next year a little bit. I mean, we've talked about a lot of the games that all of us have played. There's tons of new games, but we have to play the new games to talk about the new games.
So we're going to figure out we're going to look at our formula and go over it and edit where we need to. And I'm super excited. But anything else from you guys?
I'm
just happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having me for a couple episodes.
Well, yeah, and we're still going to play one shots.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Yeah, we've still got that, and we'll have you next year. Unless you intend to leave us. Are you leaving us?
Yes,
you actually have to come back. I'm sorry.
It's in your contract.
It's in your contract. You don't know that you signed it, but you signed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I forged
that. That was weird when Joy showed up in the middle of the night at my house
and just
like
handed you a paper,
and she's like, sign it.
Remember, she had your finger prick, and then you signed it?
Yeah.
The feather quill just manifested in her hand.
She is a vampire, so she, you know,
she is absolutely.
It was like 4 a.m. too, which was weird.
Yeah.
Did you invite her inside?
No, it was just my doorstep.
Okay.
Did you? Well, I was gonna say, if you ever said you're welcome over any time, that's an opening.
Oh yeah. Oh damn.
That does totally get around that rule. Just saying.
Hi, Joy. Love you, Joy.
Oh God.
That was. Sorry, that's one of my favorite, like, little Angel bits from the show Angel back in the day, was that he busts into, like, a chick's, one of his friend's house, and she's like, how did you get in here? I didn't invite you. And she's, like, being attacked. And he's like, you said I was welcome anytime. And she's like, I really need to, she just, in the middle of being attacked, stops and is like, I really need to think about my wording better. And he's like, you do. If it wasn't me, I would have yelled at you. And then just continues to, like, go charging headlong into the fight. And I'm just like, that's the best workaround I've ever heard.
It's pretty good.
You said I was welcome anytime. You already did it.
Yep.
That's why I like quantify stuff with like, you're welcome to drop by anytime. That doesn't mean you're welcome in my house. You're just welcome to drop by.
Yeah.
Also, it's why I turn my welcome mats backwards.
Get out.
You're not actually, well, you're welcome to leave.
But with that, we'll gather all your questions up. We'll shove them back in the game cabinet. And as usual, have a good one. Happy holidays. We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to The Game Cabinet at the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/advunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.